Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Unlike Bally Sports streaming on the DirecTV app, don't even get me started, Ian.
What happened now?
Well, first of all, let me tell the folks, we're live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and Busy Bee, those are good people. So I want to take them aside from the Bally Sports folks. Let me tell you, this Bally Sports, what a freaking piece of work this company is. I cannot wait until they die. Judge Lopez in Texas, the guy who's overseeing the Bally Sports bankruptcy, kill him. We the people want our baseball games. And in the fall, we want our hockey games. I heard Willie wrap up the midday show, and he said, let's see if we convince Jared that Shea Weber should be in the Hall of Fame, which they did not. But more importantly, I don't care about that. I care about Willie. Get your company, get the Bally Sports people off their asses and get them to get a company that has games that we can watch, because the Atlanta Braves right now are playing against the Cardinals. And I want to watch a game, Ian. And I can't watch a game. I can watch everything else on the DirecTV app. I can't watch Braves.
So they're not in cahoots with DirecTV right now either?
I don't know. I mean, they had a deal, supposedly. I mean, that was one of their things.
What happened?
The bankruptcy court, they were... I don't know. That trash company, I can't wait till they die. I can't wait till they die. I am rooting for Bally Sports. You know, it's funny, because this was on the grid, and I was going to save this as a topic. I'm going to get to the Titans in a second. So everybody that's like, get to the Titans. I don't want to hear Jared complain about him trying to watch a baseball game. But Gary Bettman was on with Stephen A. this week, and Stephen A. was talking about how the cable TV ratings, the national TV ratings for the NHL are up, and the playoff ratings are up, and the revenue is up in the NHL, and everything's great in the NHL. And I'm like, half the league can't even watch their games because of freaking Bally Sports. It was a bad deal from the start. The Department of Justice, under the previous president, that administration decided to make Disney divest the RSNs, which screwed all of us. And so we can't watch any of the games. And I don't know why the Department of Justice felt like they had to make them do that. I don't see how that gives Disney some sort of monopoly. I'm not smart enough to figure it out anyways. But again, I know, I always talk about things on the show that you guys care about, not things I care about. I know you guys hate Bally Sports as much as I do. And I cannot wait until Bally Sports dies. I saw the Alex Darty article last week in the Tennessean when I was out that, like, the Predators are, according to a source. Again, this is Alex's reporting. This has nothing to do with what I think. But that the Predators are kind of looking to go with the model that Vegas has, where Vegas is on an over-the-air channel. Lord, and Christopher Lopez, the judge in Texas, please put the Predators on an over-the-air channel. Please do that so we can get rid of this gong show of a company that has the games of the teams we care about. Okay, enough complaining. Let's start on the Titans. So I was reading up ESPN.com, and I was listening. Jeffrey Simmons went on the Rich Eisen show, and Jeffrey Simmons was talking about Caleb Williams, and I didn't necessarily like what Jeffrey Simmons had to say about Caleb Williams, which we'll get into at some point, but he was talking about the fact that it's going to be game one, and Simmons knows everybody's going to be talking about Chicago. And Rich Eisen looked at Simmons and he said, I will tell you on behalf of the national media, you're right. Everybody will be focused on Chicago. And then I see an ESPN.com article. They graded the off seasons. And like I always do, I go right down to the Titans. I said, okay, I want to see. What do they have for the Titans? What do they say the offseason? Because every time I complain about something the Titans do, I get yelled at by all of you about how great of an offseason this is, how much better this team is than last year's team, even though Derrick Henry and DeNico Autry aren't on it anymore, and about how I'm a hater. ESPN gave it a B. Not the A++ that I get told on almost a weekly basis the Titans offseason was. And there is a humongous dichotomy of thought between what's going on in Nashville and what's going on in regards to the Titans and the offseason they had outside of Nashville. The people in Nashville think this was an incredible offseason. They think Brian Callahan is going to be a great coach. They think Bill Callahan is going to fix the line. They think Mike Vrabel was all the problem with the Titans. They think J.C. Latham was a great pick. They think the free agent spending spree for Snead and Awuzie and Ridley and Cushenberry and Pollard, that it was just unbelievable in terms of upgrading the roster. They think that Tavondre Sweat, in spite of his weight issues, his character issues, and positional issues, right? Is he a nose tackle? Is he not a nose tackle? They're like, no, no, no. He'll be able to rush the passer. He's going to be a monster. He won the Outland Trophy. He's the best. That's what the people inside of Nashville think. It's kind of similar to the quarterback. The people in the city think, oh, no, he's going to be a franchise quarterback. People outside of Nashville think he stinks. And the people outside of Nashville, when it comes to the offseason that the Titans had, they are very skeptical. For instance, Seth Walder at ESPN, he's their analytics guy, gave him a B, not the A++ again. One executive told Mike Sando that after the draft, one NFL executive, so this is somebody in the league, told Mike Sando that Tavondre Sweat, quote, will break your heart. I don't like hearing that. Another executive said after free agency to The Athletic, quote, they went receiver, center, corner, linebacker, and running back, all at $7 million a year or more. Now look at Carolina. This is an executive. Both teams overpaid, but Carolina made all their moves up front, so you could see what their plan was. If you are going to overpay, overpay with intention. So that league executive basically said, yeah, Tennessee just went out there and spent a boatload of money on all these players, and that's great for them, but what's the plan? Meanwhile, Carolina, apparently Carolina's got it figured out. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me, but again, that's that guy's opinion. On the Ridley deal, another executive told The Athletic, quote, there is a walk-away point on some of these deals, and paying high-dollar numbers to a 29-year-old receiver now on his third team in 3 years amounts to bad business. We had Tony Khan on yesterday. His dad owns the Jags. He runs it. And he was basically like, yeah, we loved Calvin Ridley, but at some point it's business. We went with Brian Thomas Jr. So again, inside of Nashville, the offseason, incredible. Outside of Nashville, highly skeptical. So what is the truth? Because again, the national media, NFL executives around the league, analytics, they get it wrong too. Like, let's not kid ourselves. I hear all the time people say, well, I trust a GM and a coach more than I trust you. And I'm like, yes, in general, that's how it should be. But how many times have we seen things like Bill O'Brien trade DeAndre Hopkins and everyone says, boy, that looks like a stupid trade. And then all of a sudden, no, they know. And then obviously in hindsight, it was an incredibly stupid trade. We don't really know the truth. That's the reality. Neither do they, by the way. The people inside Nashville, they don't know. They believe something because they want to believe it. It's called affirmation. The people outside of here, they don't know either. I have my doubts about the Titans. Again, especially the offseason. Who's playing right tackle? But at the same time, all I want to do is see what the quarterback's made of. Because the one thing that I'll accept, regardless of how I feel about the current administration or the coach or whatever it may be, the one thing I will admit to is I have been wrong on several occasions. Now, I'm willing to put my hand in the air when I said that the A.J. Brown trade, that I understood it. I was able to put my hand in the air and say, hey, when they made the trade and I said, hey, I get it, I understand, and I am for that. I understand sometimes I'm wrong. But where I sit, again, the truth here, when everybody is telling you something and you believe the exact opposite and it's the subject matter is you, chances are you're probably not the one who's looking at it correctly. Even last year, the national media kept saying the Titans were going to stink. Stink. And I pushed back on that. Henry and Tannehill, and there was no way the line could be worse than it was the year before. And thank God Todd Downing's gone, and they added DeAndre Hopkins. And I believed in Burks and Chig, and the Titans won six games. So, again, on one hand, everybody in town thinks that this was an incredible offseason. Everybody out of town, not just the media, not just one NFL executive, but multiple NFL executives, and even the analytics, say not so fast. We don't know who's right. That's why we play the games. But it is fascinating to me to see the polar opposite opinion of the Titans in the offseason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And there's one thing that I really believe about the Titans, about where they are. And I don't think that you can necessarily, if you're the coach, embrace this in the NFL. But I do think the Titans need to embrace this reality. And I do not think they have done a good job when it comes to the fans. I will explain what that is. We will do it next. Plus your phones, 615-737-1025. It is Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I mean, it's going to take some time, and we're going to work really hard. And, you know, you just never know where this can go. But we understand that there needs to be a little patience involved in building a roster. It's going to be, you know, focused, methodical approach where we're trying to get first downs before we get touchdowns. Maybe our quarterback develops into one of the great young stars of our league. You just never know what can happen. And at the end of the day, Rand and I talk about this all the time. You know, when you come into an organization, you identify what needs to be fixed. You hire the best before anybody else does, and you develop an obsession with winning immediately. That's what we get paid to do, is to win. So that's there's no – as we approach this season, we're doing everything we can to assemble a roster to allow us to compete at the highest level.
There you go. That was Chad Brinker at the Senior Bowl talking about, hey, fans got to understand, this is not going to happen overnight. We are going to be methodical with how we build this team. But who knows? Maybe the quarterback's good. And we know we need to win immediately. At the time, I didn't really know what that meant. You know, on one hand, you're telling the fans, be patient. On the other hand, you're saying, hey, we know we got to win immediately. Those things don't necessarily go hand in hand. And now that I've seen what they've done in the offseason, I'm even a little bit more confused, if that makes any sense. And so there's one thing I don't think the Titans have done a very good job of this offseason, and that is setting expectations. Now, if the Titans end up going 10-7 and they make it to the AFC Championship game, then it won't matter if they set expectations well or not. But if they do as everybody else around the country thinks they're going to do, and they finish 6-11, they finish 7-10, or something like that, I think there's going to be a lot of upset fans. Because after all of the money that the Titans spent in the offseason, which again, the Titans spent a lot of money, but it's not like the Titans have the highest payroll in the NFL. The Titans are very middle of the pack. But at the same time, after the money, after the Jared Auer offseason was A++, I don't think fans around here are going to take well to losing. And I don't think the Titans have done a very good job of setting expectations, or if this is a rebuilding year, communicating that to the fans. I don't know. Is this a rebuilding year? For me, I look at this as this is going to be the year where we figure out if the quarterback is good or not. And even then, it's going to take the whole year, and we're going to have to be patient, and it's going to take some time, and it's not going to be just a right-away thing. At least that's what I believe. I have no idea, you know, as far as what they think, that's just me. And I don't know if the Titans haven't come out and said, hey, this is going to be a rebuilding year. This is going to be a year where we figure out what we are. This is going to be a year where we figure out what we're not. The Titans didn't sign Calvin Ridley and come out and say, we got Calvin Ridley because we needed to get Will Levis a wide receiver to see if Will Levis is any good so that he can throw the ball down the field to a guy who can run. And because our offensive line sucks so bad and there are no tackles in free agency, we're going to have to use our picks there. They don't come out and say those things. In fact, I've talked a lot about the sunshine pumping and the toxic positivity, and Brian Callahan goes on Bussing with the Boys, and Brian Callahan says, you know, I feel very good about us being able to compete with the players we added this offseason. I'm like, okay, well then you better do it, because you're telling the fans you think you can win. And if you don't tell the fans you're rebuilding, and you don't tell the fans, hey, this is where we are, it's going to be a process, it's not going to be a Super Bowl season, it's not going to be a deep competition this year. If you don't do that and you don't win, fans get mad. Don't believe me? Ask Mike Vrabel. Because last year there was a lot of talk about, should the Titans rebuild, or are the Titans rebuilding? They didn't sign anybody in free agency, but they're still paying Ryan Tannehill. They're still paying Derrick Henry. They're still paying, you know, veteran guys that went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. They lost. And then what did they do? They fired the coach. So, again, I don't know what their reason for not saying, hey, there are going to be some rebuilding pains this year, or saying, hey, fans, be patient this season. I don't know why they haven't done that, but they have done a bad job of not communicating that. Some of that might be stadium and PSL driven, right? Buy $70,000 PSL, Titans fans, because we've got a good young quarterback. Do you? I mean, I hope you do. It's like I told Tony Khan yesterday on the show. I hope the Titans can spend $300 million on their quarterback. But if this is a rebuild year, then fans should not expect success overnight, even with L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie, even with Lloyd Cushenberry at center and J.C. Latham at left tackle. And the Titans have not really told that to anybody. Brian Callahan, again, he's talking about competing this year. Chad Brinker's talking about, we know we've got to win immediately. Well, if that's the mantra around here, and the NFL is different from other sports. In baseball, in hockey, in basketball, you can go to your fans and say, guys, it's going to be a couple years. You can't do that in the NFL. But you can tell your fans, guys, we're just trying to figure out if the quarterback's good. You can do that. And before you tell me that if they do that, it will ruin Will Levis's confidence, just know that's exactly what the Green Bay Packers said about Jordan Love. And I don't think it ruined his confidence. But the Titans haven't communicated that. And again, I don't know. Maybe it's about the stadium. Maybe it's about PSLs. Maybe it's about trying to sell people on this team, getting them to believe. Maybe some of it is because they know the owner does not take kindly to losing, regardless of the context. She does not take kindly to it. And we saw what happened with Mike Vrabel. If you think this was some kind of power struggle, you don't know Mike Vrabel, the owner said, only to find out a year later in the Athletic article that Vrabel went to the owner and said, I'd like to be GM, make him assistant GM. So maybe they're saying, hey, we got to convince everybody this is going to be a good team, and then we've got to be a good team, because even though it's going to take some time to figure out if the quarterback's good, and then if the quarterback's good, what do we need to do off of that? The owner's not going to give us time, because that's not how the owner operates around here. That might be the reason, too. I just know this. When you make the kind of changes the Titans made, it takes at a minimum 6 weeks. And I think it's more likely to be 8 before we'll really have a grasp of how those changes will take hold. It takes time. Learning a new system, working with new receivers, new linemen, new center, new quarterback. That stuff takes time. That's why when I went over the receivers the other day and I said, here's who I think is going to lead the team in receptions, they can pay Calvin Ridley a gazillion dollars. I still think it's going to be DeAndre. Because Will Levis has the best chemistry and has the experience with DeAndre. That's why I still think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is going to play a role in this offense, even though he didn't get the invite to Cabo. Because he spent time with Will Levis. But it's going to take time. And I just don't think the Titans have done a good job at all of communicating that to their fans. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dre is going to kick us off today. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Dre, go ahead.
Yeah, once again, we disagree on so many things, man. You have a few valid points, but, yeah, the sky's falling again with Jared. So we'll
when did I say that?
What happened? Anyway, I mean, I have a deeper point. You know what, Jared, man? I think I'm kind of becoming a little bit of you listening to you. I woke up this morning and realized that I'm not all the way in on the coaching staff, and this is the reason why. Now we're going to disagree with this here, me and you. I believe we'll disagree, but okay. This is the reason why. Treylon Burks, they're going to take Treylon Burks and put him on the special team squad. Now, granted, this young man, injuries have plagued this young man for both seasons he's been in the league. Injuries. It's not that the boy don't have heart or talent or skill.
Well, he dropped the football a lot last year, Dre.
Well, yeah, of course. And I mean, everybody drops, but it wasn't that.
No. He and Chig, it was excessive. Yes, it was. Do you remember the first play of the Texan game when Levis threw the ball 70 yards and it hit him square in the hands and he dropped it?
Ah, man, come on.
He dropped a third down the first game against the Saints.
Hey, but
he dropped three against the Browns.
Jerry, you'll love this one here. Jerry, you're going to love this. Okay, so here we are. We're all in on old receivers in Nashville. We're all in. And we're going to take the only really good receiver and put him out there on at special teams. I don't agree with that. And
you don't think Ridley's good?
Head decision. All right, Jerry, I'm going to hang up and listen.
Trey, thank you for the call. I mean, I don't think Treylon Burks has done enough for us to even think that he's good. I mean, and at some point when it comes to potential, Burks has enormous talent. I mean, an unbelievable amount of talent, unbelievable amount of potential, but at some point that has to be realized. Now, the NFL, you don't get 8 years to figure it out. I mean, even in the NHL, the Predators have some of these guys that were high picks that are down at Milwaukee or they're getting a little playing time here, there, and every time they come up, we're always told, oh, no, give him a chance. He's still 23. I'm like, yeah, and he should be good by now. That's how pro sports works. That's how the league works. You notice the great players, it's never like, you know, Ronald Acuna wasn't ready. No, he was ready at like 20 years old. Burks has an inordinate amount of talent, but he can't stay healthy, he can't catch a ball, and he's been passed up by guys they've signed. I mean, I wouldn't say that Burks is the only good receiver they have. I think Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd are good. And as far as, you know, these are all old guys, I agree, but I think at some point, you have to get the young quarterback somebody that he can throw the ball to so that you can develop the young quarterback. And then once the young quarterback is developed, then you can add guys via the draft, and maybe he makes a average receiver better. That's just my opinion on it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the receiver position, I do want to get to your phones here on the program. There was something that was said yesterday that I found to be fascinating. And I see both sides of the argument. We'll get to that. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in today. Again, that is 615-737-1025. Do not miss out on Nashville's best deal for Deacon's New South in downtown Nashville, where Southern service meets exceptional service. Their dry-aged steaks and chef-inspired dishes are complemented by inventive sides and desserts featuring locally sourced produce. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 while supplies last.
I mean, Calvin, you know, I think LJ said it. You know, he's one of the better separators in the league. You know, I had a moment last offseason in our courtship, you know, of Hop. And a bunch of those guys were out in Arizona working out, and it was Ridley, and it was Deebo Samuels, and it was D-Hop. And so all these guys were working out. And the consistent thing you heard out of Arizona was everybody was stealing tricks from Calvin, you know, a guy that had been out, you know, a year, and everyone was talking about how legit that he looks and how they were, you know, and these are all Pro Bowl players saying they were taking tools out of his bag, you know, to help their game. And then you to actually see that translate in the season, you know, him being able to get open, separate, you know, his speed, you know, and his ability to track the ball, like those things stand out. And so to actually have the opportunity to even consider him was something that we had a part of our plan, but it was in our mind, really, it was more of a pipe dream.
That was Rand Carthon when the Titans signed Calvin Ridley. And, I mean, the way he separates and the way he can track the ball, Rand said. The one problem Ridley did have last season, including in the last game of the year against you, is catching the ball. But I do think that playing football, I think he'll be a little better off for that. So the Titans added Calvin Ridley, and I remember when it happened, I was dog-cussing the Titans at the time for signing Mason Rudolph because I think he sucks. And then all of a sudden the news broke that they had signed Calvin Ridley, and I was like, okay, somebody that can run down the field, which they have needed for forever. But they did pay him a lot of money. And then after they paid Ridley, Thomas Dimitrov, the former general manager of the Falcons, the guy who actually hired Rand into personnel in the NFL with the Falcons, Thomas Dimitrov said on his own show that the draft is so deep at receiver that you should not pay a wide receiver in free agency. There was really one guy that got paid because Mike Evans didn't actually hit unrestricted free agency. The Bucs signed him the day before that, and it was Ridley. Some of the other guys like Gabe Davis, like they got some money. Darnell Mooney, like those guys got some money. But it wasn't the Calvin Ridley type money. And Tony Khan, who owns the Jags, was on our show yesterday. And I asked him about how did it feel losing Calvin Ridley, a guy Jacksonville reportedly was interested in trying to keep. How did it feel losing Calvin Ridley to a division rival? How did it feel to lose the production of a Calvin Ridley and to lose him in the division to know you're going to have to play him twice a year?
Well, I think it was a tough call. But again, when you're heading into free agency, there's tough choices. Everybody here really likes Calvin. He's a great person, a great player. And that's why we went into the draft. And we knew that we had to target a top receiver. And I think we made a great deal. We were able to trade back, get more picks in this year's draft, and get picks in next year's draft. And we really believe the receiver that we picked in the first round, Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, is one of the top young receivers on the planet. And we loved him in this draft, and we thought he could have gone much, much higher. And we were fortunate. We were able to trade back, and the player we wanted was still there. And not only picked up more picks, but also got a great young receiver. And, you know, we've had to make some trades and transfers and move people around, and I think that's good. And obviously you lose players in free agency, and, you know, I think with Brian Thomas Jr. coming in, that definitely fills a major need for us. And Calvin did a lot of great things for us last year, too.
I mean, he said, hey, it was a tough call. We loved Calvin. But ultimately, we could go in the draft. We could trade back and get his replacement. And I remember on the draft show that night when Jacksonville was making their pick and Thomas Jr. was on the board, and I said, I'm like, that guy, because the thing about Thomas Jr., what everybody said about him coming out was he's not as polished as the top guys. He's not as polished as Neighbors or as Harrison or Adunze. But that right now, he is a deep threat in the NFL. They're going to have to teach him the other stuff, but he can run down the field. And I saw Jacksonville on the clock, and I go, that's the replacement for Ridley. And then they went and made the pick. And so think about what Dimitrov said. Don't spend money on a receiver because the draft is deep. Think about what Tony Khan told you. This stood out to me. They said, hey, it was a tough call for us. They ended up letting Ridley go because they knew, hey, we'll be able to draft his replacement. And it may not have been Brian Thomas Jr. It could have been somebody else, because when Jacksonville trades out of the pick, there's a chance somebody's going to take their guy. So it was probably multiple wide receivers that they looked at and said, we can replace Ridley with these guys. Now, John Robinson thought he could replace A.J. Brown with Treylon Burks, and obviously that hasn't worked out. But I see both sides of this. I understand why Jacksonville let Ridley walk, didn't re-sign him before the exclusive window was over to give the Falcons the second rounder as opposed to the third, and then drafted Thomas Jr. to go with Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk. I understand why, and I think they did the right thing. I also understand why the Titans, I believe, probably did the right thing by signing Ridley too. The Titans are going to get criticized if Ridley does not perform, or if Ridley ages poorly at 29 years old, they're going to get criticized for this move, because people are going to say, hey, I can't believe that you paid a 29-year-old receiver that's main thing is speed, and you paid him $50 million, and now he's declined and he can't run. And I'll get it. And again, you got to get things right. That's how this works. The owner gives you the money. You have to invest it wisely. But I understand why the Titans didn't go the route that Thomas Dimitroff said teams should go. I understand why the Titans didn't go the route that Jacksonville went. And again, I think Jacksonville made the right call, because the Titans only had two picks in the top 38. And they did not have a third-round pick in this year's draft because of Will Levis. So as much as people want to pencil in Cedric Gray into the starting lineup, it seems pretty obvious to me that Jack Gibbons is going to start. So you can really only count on two starters with those two picks. The offensive line was so bad, and the offensive line free agency class, especially at the tackle position, was so weak that the Titans didn't have the luxury Jacksonville had of saying, well, if we don't sign Ridley, we can just get Brian Thomas Jr. to replace him. Because if you wanted a Brian Thomas Jr. or you wanted a receiver at 38, that means you would not have had J.C. Latham or Tavondre Sweat. Now, when it comes to Tavondre Sweat, that's a different discussion, because we don't know if that's going to work out. And right now, I don't know how you can't be concerned about what's going on with Tavondre Sweat. But on the Ridley front, when I heard Tony Khan say that yesterday, it really stood out to me. He was very quick of saying, hey, we loved Calvin, but we got Brian Thomas Jr. And I'm like, yeah. And they got Brian Thomas Jr. at a fraction of the cost. 615-737-1025, Craig says, Jared, usually I view you as a sensationalist. Today, I appreciate your honesty. I feel like you are spot on and you have your feet planted firmly on the ground. I appreciate your opinion concerning the Titans. Thank you from Craig. Craig, salute to you. Way to go, Craig. I appreciate that. It was very nice of him to say. Boy, I tell you, a lot of people wanted to text in about Bally Sports. Woof. Unbelievable. One texter said, if the Titans came out and said we're going to be mediocre this year, you would not come on the radio and say they did exactly what they should, and I'm proud of them for giving us the expectations. You would still say that they suck. Well, that comes from David. Barry Trotz came on the show last year and said, fans, be patient. Be patient. What did Barry Trotz say after this year? When they made the playoffs, they were surprised. They got hot. They made the playoffs. And he said, we're going to get younger, and we might end up taking a step back. If the Titans came out and said, the key to this season is the young quarterback, and it's going to take time. We've got to be patient. And everything we're doing is to try to figure out and to develop our young quarterback to make sure that we can put him in the best situation to become one of the five or six good quarterbacks in this sport. I'd say that's the exact right approach. Don't tell me what I would say, because I've been banging this drum all offseason that, guys, it's going to take time. Guys, we got to figure out what Levis can do. But they also, when people say we got to figure out what Levis is, it makes me uncomfortable, because it's their job to make Levis better. It's not just let's see if Levis is any good. No, let's see if you guys can mold the clay into something special with the raw ability that he's got. You know, it's a two-way street here. It's not just Levis. It's the Titans supporting the growth of Levis. And if they told me that's what this season was about, and they said it straight up like that, I'd say that is the right approach to this year. But don't tell me what I would say if they said something. I will tell you what I will think if they say it. 615-737-1025. We got a lot more phones to get to. Chris Sanders, of course, joins us on the program every week. We will get to that. And Jeffrey Simmons said something. Now, sometimes I get criticized for always thinking that I have all the answers. But there's something today I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm not sure I like it. And I want Chris's opinion on it, so we'll do that next. Let's talk about Window Nation. Window Nation is an honest company. It's a company that I trust. And I'll tell you why I trust them. Because not too long ago, I had Window Nation out to my home. And I said, I want you guys to look at my windows. I want you guys to give me the assessment. What windows need replacing? What windows can I take out to get the energy efficient models in here to save money and lower my energy costs? And after they showed me all of their wonderful products, they said, you don't need to replace your windows. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, that's the sign of an honest company. That's why I love telling you about them. And I love telling you about their Window Nation semi-annual sale. Now through June 30th, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years and a bonus 10% savings when you schedule an estimate at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Again, this is through June 30th. 50% off all windows, no interest for 5 years, a bonus 10% savings when you schedule 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Stillman and Company on the program. So I saw this has kind of been trending around Twitter. Jeffrey Simmons, I guess, is in Los Angeles. And Jeffrey Simmons went on the Rich Eisen show. Ian, do we have the cut? Okay, so Jeffrey Simmons was asked about week one against the Chicago Bears.
Well, he was kind of asked about talking trash.
He was. And so he was talking about how he talks trash to everybody. He said the one thing that he doesn't do, he said he doesn't do family, that he won't rip on somebody for their family, but the way Simmons put it was, once we get in between those lines, like, I got to feed my family. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. And so he was asked about Caleb Williams week one, and here's what Simmons said on the Rich Eisen show.
I don't know, man.
So you do research a little bit.
I just, whatever come to mind, that's what I say.
But you're not trying to make him laugh, right?
No. I'm trying to defeat you.
Right.
So when I say something to you, I want you to like be like,
you want to hurt.
Yeah, I want. Yeah.
See, this is another reason why I wanted to have you here. Because you, Jeffrey Simmons, week one of the National Football League season, will be the first human being on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Painted nails.
In a game.
Painted nails.
I can't wait to say that to him.
For right. Caleb Williams.
Well, Jeffrey.
So that's you've got that plan?
Oh, it's gonna, yeah, it's gonna be one of them games. Especially, I mean, he probably get talk smack. I mean, smack talk to his by yeah. You know his teammates right now. But like, it's gonna be especially a game like that. My first game, like, of course, I missed the last end of the season.
Right,
it's gonna be the first game of the season. They got us coming to Chicago. He going all the hype gonna be around them, of course. So it's like.
He said painted nails. That's he's going to get on Caleb Bush's back. I don't know if that's a good thing to say publicly. I don't know if it's a good thing to unload the barrel before the game. And I also don't know if it's something that now Caleb Williams, you know, that's a little motivation. And, you know, do that. Everybody trash talks, but do that during the game. Don't do that in the media. Don't be that. I don't know how to feel. Chris Sanders joins us now on the program, former Titans receiver.
No!
Your thoughts.
No, my God, don't do it. No way. And the reason why I said it, because you remember we did an interview, I think maybe about a month and a half ago, and you said, what was the toughest game? And I said, the first game is going to be Chicago. And the reason why it's going to be tough, Jared, is because they got all the hoopla. They got the number one pick in the draft. They got new coach. They got all these things. And they want to win this first game to get their crowd into it. So now you got a situation to where you got Jeffrey Simmons talking about his nails and talking about this. You don't think that that's going to be some extra ammo to go out to beat the Tennessee Titans? So I just think that, yeah,
You can trash talk, but you want to trash talk not a month and a half or 2 months before the game. You want to trash talk before the game so he doesn't have no ammo.
You know, I'm torn on this for a couple of reasons. Yeah, I agree with you completely on what you just said. But at the same time, if he goes on this show and he just sits there and Rich Eisen says, you know, yeah, you apparently are a big trash talker. And he says, yeah, you know, I trash talk. I got a few months, whatever. They say, Caleb Williams, you know, what do you have? And he says, oh, I don't have anything. Or he says, you know, oh, they'll just have to wait. Or, oh, we'll say, why do these guys never say anything? He tells you what he's going to say. He's going to make fun of Caleb Williams for the painted nails, which I do think's a little weird. Yeah. You know, he's going to bring that up. So on one hand, I'm like, I don't want to get on him for telling the truth. On the other hand, it's like, save that for the game, baby.
Yeah, but trash talk, like football stuff. Say, I'm going to have about 4 sacks. Nobody can block me. I'm in your face. I mean, all that crazy stuff. But when you start talking about the dude, a guy painting his nails, now you took it from, okay, I'm talking trash in a football, now it becomes personal. Now, even though, you know, he's cracking jokes and he's making fun, and yes, it's kind of jokey joke, but at the end of the day, if I'm Caleb Williams and I'm listening to that, understand the football stuff. When you're talking about somebody painting their nails, that's a whole different ballgame. That's motivation to say, well, hold up. Don't talk. You're not just talking about football. Now you're talking about my person. And when you're talking about my person, then that's when I kind of get offended. I'm going to go out there, not just show you, but I'm going to show the Tennessee Titans that I can go out and do the job.
Chris, Will Levis is out in Cabo right now. He's got Chigakonkwo, Josh Wiley, Tajay Spears, Calvin Ridley, and DeAndre Hopkins with him. And when it came out that Levis was going to take those guys out to Cabo, I said, that's a good thing. Now, there are two things here. First, it sounds like Levis is taking the receivers out there. Levis's contract is for $9 million for all 4 years that he's under contract.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins should be the ones footing the bills as the veteran receivers that make the kind of money that those guys make as compared to the young $9 million total quarterback. I just think it's a leadership thing, Chris. I know Levis wants to show, hey, I can be the guy. I'm going to act like Matthew Stafford. But he doesn't have Matthew Stafford money. I think from a leadership standpoint, Hopkins and Ridley should be footing the bill. What do you think of that?
You know, I don't think it's a money issue when you're talking about leadership. It's about making others better, and I think he wants to make others better. I understand that the money situation, Hop got a lot of change. You know, Calvin really got a lot of change. Boy got some change. But at the end of the day, it's about making your guys better. I'll give you a perfect example. When Will Levis first came in, and he was roommates with NWI, and NWI was like, man, what do you do? And what's his name? I just studied a playbook. So
that's Colton Dow, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, kind of like in that sense. But, you know, he's basically saying that, you know, I'm here to get a job done. I'm here to make plays. I'm here to take our team to a Super Bowl. And I think with him, you know, doing that and getting those guys throwing balls in combo and catching passes and, you know, doing walkthrough, I just think that it shows his leadership of wanting to be a leader but also keeping other guys accountable, that even though we have these 6 weeks off, you know, I still expect you guys to get the job done, and working out is the best part of doing that.
I agree. It's great. But again, I'm talking about the actual financing of this. I believe the guys that make the money should be the ones that are, you know, stepping up and saying, hey, we got it covered. Don't worry about it, young guy. We are here to help rise you up. We appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I just think the guys that make the most money should be the ones footing the bill here. I don't know who is. It sounds like it's Levis, though, who's footing the bill, because that's what the star quarterbacks do, but he's not making star quarterback money.
Yeah, but the thing about it is you got to sacrifice. I mean, he's not making that star quarterback money, but he's making a sacrifice. I know how.
If you were making $24 million a year, you were making $50 million, because you got a family, I know. If you were making $50 million bucks and he was making $9 million, and he said, Chris, I want to pay for you to go out to the Bahamas with me or wherever. Would you say, hold on, young fella, I got this? Or would you ride on his dime?
Knowing me being cheap, I might ride on his dime.
Oh, stop.
I mean, if people who know me, I'm cheap. I mean, I'll give my last leg to anybody. But when it comes to, you know, for me, I'm cheap. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, I know those cats got a lot of money, and maybe they probably did that. Maybe they sat around and said, okay, Will Levis, you know, let us take care of the bill. And maybe Will Levis like, you know what, I understand you guys are making a lot of money and a lot of change, and, you know, you got millions. But let me show you how much I care about you. Let me show you how much I care about this team, and let me take care of the bill. So, I mean, you just never know what was in that room.
The other thing that bothers me a little bit about this is that it's only five guys that are out there. And I understand some guys may have other conflicts, right? Like Tyler Boyd may be moving to Nashville. Burks is not out there. No, he's not.
Okay.
So other guys may have, you know, I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine said that at minicamp he just had a child. Maybe that's why he's not out there. Again, I don't know. Sure. But if it was just a Levis picked five guys and those are the five guys that are out there, I could see some hurt feelings of some guys that weren't invited out there.
Yeah, you could, but I don't think it was that because, you know, you got Burks, I guess, just got married and going on the honeymoon. I can understand it. Then you got NWI who just had a baby. I don't know the situation with Kyle Phillips and all the other guys. I don't know if they were there or not. But if he did, I'm just throwing this out, if he did just pick five guys, then yes, as a receiver, I'm going to be hurt. Just like, you know, if Steve Mack, you know, rest his soul, you know, pick Kevin Dyson, Yancey Thigpen, you know, all the other guys but didn't pick me. Yes, my feelings will be hurt because basically he's saying, I'm not depending on you. So I'm not saying this happened, but I just believe the guys that are missing, I think they got married or had babies. So you know, I wouldn't even look into that even as much.
Chris Sanders, last one for you on the program.
Yes, sir.
Which is, as the dead period continues up into camp, how would you feel if you were coaching this team now that all the offseason stuff's over? How would you feel about this team going into training camp?
You know what, Jared, that's a great question. I in my opinion, I will feel really, really good. And the reason why I feel really good, because I went to practice, you know, a month ago and they had their first OTAs, and there's just a different feel. There's kind of like a different attitude. And there's just like a new boost of energy. And just watching the defense, I love what the defense. I know Jeffrey Simmons wasn't participating and some guys wasn't participating. But the attitude that I see in the secondary with Awuzie and Snead, I know Snead hasn't been there as much. And you got the secondary that's playing well. The reason why I'm excited is because there's just a new set of energy. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Mike Vrabel didn't have the energy and all that stuff. I'm just saying there's just – it's something different about this team. Everybody is on board. You got leaders like Arden Key that's speaking up even more. I know he talks loud, but he said that I get to be myself now. So when you have guys that are coming out their shell that are playing because they want to as opposed to fear, I think you got something special.
Chris Sanders, as always, joining us on the program. Of course, you can follow Chris on Instagram, and every day you will see how much Chris loves his wife because he posts about it every day. So, Chris, I know her. You're very happily married.
Yes, you and Faith Sanders
are just have the summer that I'm jealous of. By the way, you posted that you were taking her on a surprise vacation trip. Where'd you take her?
I did. I can't tell you, man. It's a surprise place, man. I'll have to bite your kneecap if I told you.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it. One day you got to come with me, man. It was just real cool just for us to get away and nurture our relationship, man.
All right, we'll take your phones. And where did Chris go? I'm kidding. Chris Sanders, as always. Chris, take good care of yourself, bud.
Hey, love you, brother. Bye-bye.
Yep, Chris Sanders on our program, as always. Where do you think he went, Ian?
He's still there. He's on vacation somewhere.
I don't think
he's left.
Chris did the interview while I was on vacation?
I called him, and he's like, man, I'm still on vacation. We've had an off week, and I don't even know what day it is. And so I just called him to make sure he was okay, because he usually calls in, you know, before, and he hadn't called. And so I reached out, and he's like, oh, I'm ready. I was like, you know, everyone needs a vacation. He's like, nope, I'm ready to go.
I told Ian, I say, I haven't talked to Chris this week. I don't know if he's on vacation or not. And I was like, hey, if Chris doesn't want to do it, or if Chris doesn't answer, like, that's fine. I get he's on vacation. I did not know he was still on vacation. That's dedication from one Christopher Dwayne Sanders, the NFL record holder for the least amount of rushing yards in the history of the NFL. This Friday and Saturday, 93.3 Classic Hits will be carrying live coverage of the Rackley Roofing 200 and the Tennessee Lottery 250 races at the Nashville Super Speedway. Coverage presented by Green Trees will begin Friday at 6:30 p.m. and on Saturday at 3:30. Green Trees Company is a family-owned cannabis company located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville and available online at greentreescompany.com.